In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good morning. Today we have a couple of announcements. One is that to thank you all, for those of you who are doing so much to be a part of our mission, to be able to listen to what it meant to have an immaculate defense, meaning Our Lady's Immaculate Conception, defending you from whatever ills you have, whatever difficulties you struggle with, and especially to remember who is the most important reason for this and every season that we have, and that is Jesus Christ, her Son. And so Father Gruber really enjoyed his time with us. I know that many of you made it for at least part of the mission, and many from outside our community did as well. Thank you to those who provided in the Catholic Daughters and others who worked so assiduously to make sure it was a success. Father Gruber said to me, you know, this parish right here, not only is it a beautiful church, but your people are really beautiful. And I just felt so cared for and rested to be able to be here with you all to speak about these important things, to share with them a relationship with the Mother of God. And so I asked him, well, if you like it so much, you could just stay. And he said, no, I got to go back. I have to suffer. I can't just always have good times. And so there he is. So thank you for being so good to him. He's a dear friend. And maybe he'll come back. He said, if you would allow, he would love to do that at some point in the future. If you'd like to know more about what the Lord has blessed him with to share, in the back of the church, many of you have already taken them, those pamphlets which are there, which he himself puts together. On the bottom, it has his website, mothersforpriest.org. You can go ahead and look there, and they've got all sorts of other. He has over 200 pamphlets just like that on various aspects of not just Our Lady, but various things that are important for us as Catholics to help us to get through difficult moments and to move deeper into prayer. So use it as a resource, which is there. Father Gruber also wrote a book, Keeping Mary Close. I should have brought my coffee. It's on my coffee table in the rectory. It's a beautiful book on how to remain near to Our Lady and make sure that you are, make sure that you understand what it means to be near to Mary and what those graces can be. If you haven't yet received the Miraculous Medal, I have them in my pocket. Just ask me for them after Mass. And if you haven't been installed in that, I will do that again for you after Mass. Our Lady says, ask of things of her, and you will indeed receive them. If you ask with confidence, particularly if you wear that Miraculous Medal of the Immaculate Conception about your neck. Trust her in these things. We also, at the back of the church, have all the envelopes which are there. And so if you haven't picked up your box of envelopes yet, or one of your family members or somebody you visit frequently during the week hasn't got it yet, this is the last Mass of the weekend here in Santa Rosa, so make sure to pick those up for them so that we can get the envelopes out to everybody and start the year at the beginning of the year as well, and to make sure we were able to get those out just a little bit easier. So if you could spend just a couple of moments going to the back of the church before you leave the side exits, if that's your custom, we'd very much appreciate it. Christmas schedule. So the Christmas schedule is in the bulletin. It's been there, I think, for a week already, and we'll have it on the doors as well for all the times that are there. So I won't review those times for you, but I will review the occasion for you. This is one of those weird years where Christmas falls on a Saturday. When it falls on a Saturday or when it falls on a Monday, you get this weird situation of Sunday butting up against Christmas, or Christmas butting up against Sunday in one way. And so the question always comes, well, Father, if I go to that late evening Mass that you have right there, whether that Saturday vigil Mass, do I get a twofer? Do I get one Mass that counts for both of my obligations there? What do you think the answer is, since I'm telling you about it? Yeah, you know. We've talked about it many times. So is the Archbishop. And so I'm just reminding you, and a friend of mine came up with a nice little ticket that is able to put the times on there for you so you can kind of punch your ticket and realize which ones you're going to do to make your Christmas obligation, which one you're going to go to make your, which one you're going to do to be able to make sure that you do your Sunday obligation for the Holy Family. The same thing happens for Mary Mother of God the First, and for Mary Mother of God the First, and as well for the Epiphany, which is the second this year. So that's what is there for you. So to make sure that you make two obligations so you have two Masses which you get to attend for that purpose. So we'll see you at both of those, and we'll get you a handout on that next week. That's it, right? Okay. See what our Lord has for us. One thing I didn't mention at any of the Masses, but if somebody needs a baptism class, I'm going to teach a baptism class tomorrow evening after the about 6:30 in Fort Sumner, if anybody needs that class. Somebody asked me to do it on Saturday, so I'm going to do it on Monday. Listen to the words from St. Paul. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today is Gaudete Sunday. Do you know what that word Gaudete means? It's Latin. It means, that's right, rejoice. Rejoice. And so you heard us say rejoice a bunch of times. These young ladies said rejoice a whole lot of times within our readings there, especially Jay Lee. You had to say the bulk of the times. We say it 12 times over the course of just those four readings that we have here. So it's really, really important. That's what the Sunday is all about today. It reminds us of the reason why our Blessed Lord Jesus came to us. Our Lord Jesus comes here within the Christmas season in the mystery of the Incarnation, not as God who is the great almighty and all-powerful judge, not the one who's going to destroy all the workers of iniquity as it speaks about in other places in Scripture. He doesn't come to us as that during this season. He comes to us in a different way, not to inherit or intimidate it, not to enslave us if we choose not to work for his kingdom. He comes to save us. In fact, do you know what the word Jesus means? Do you know what that word means? You do. That's right. It means God saves. He saves. He who is salvation in his very person. That's what he's come. And his salvation is what? Nothing other than the ability to have friendship with God. Friendship with God. It's the safety of being in right relationship with our Creator. And that's the Christmas message. And so entering into that means that we should have joy that marks who it is that we are. St. Paul commands us within the Philippians chapter 4. He says, rejoice always. And just in case we didn't get the message, he says, I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice, because the Lord is very near. What does it mean to have the Lord near? So often throughout this Advent season, we sing a hymn. We didn't do it today, but we often sing a hymn, which is, O come, O come, Emmanuel. What does that word mean, Emmanuel? We had the young boy, Moncayo Martinez, Manuel, that little boy, at Mass last night. He knew what it was. He was naughty, even though he's a little child. He could barely utter words. It means God is with us. God is with us. And so when we're praying that prayer, we're saying, O come, Emmanuel. We're saying, O come, God, be near us. God, be with us. Let us know who you are and to feel your friendship. That's the whole point of it. And when we feel that, when we have that friendship with God, when we know that he's near to us, the reaction is joy. Because we know he's come to save us. Because we know he's come to impart to us his love, his very person. And so rejoicing always means, if that's going to be the mission of our lives, it means it has to go deeper than our feelings, which are sometimes high and sometimes low. It means that it has to be deeper than our emotional state, which vacillates from one side to the other. It has to be deeper than the situations that go on around us. Like what's happening in our job situation? Or are we being successful in our exam or in other endeavors in our lives? Are we failing? Is our health good today and bad in the next moment and suffering greatly? Is there government oppression and mandates or whatever it is that's just beating us down, to the words of others? To rejoice always means that joy has to be something deeper than that. What's the deeper thing that joy has to be based upon? It's based upon nothing other than salvation. What does that mean, salvation? It means that friendship with God that we've already been talking about, something that never ends, something that no one can ever take away from us, no matter what external forces or what they say about us. Joy has to be built upon God's own never-ending love for us. Not that he loves us as Catholics, or that he loves us as Christians, that he loves us as people who do what's right most of the time. When we fail, well, then we're out of luck. God's love for us is not in a group, not as a people. God's love for us is individually. So he says, Miss Anaya, I'm love for you. He says to you, Christy, that I am love for you, even when you feel weak. He says, Joan, when you don't feel like everything adds up to you, I am still love for you. That is my heart for you. That is who I am for you. It's about an individualized love for you, Tristan. God's love for us is that way, and we invite him to come and to be with us no matter how much we screw up. It's the same no matter how much others harm us and spitefully use us. God's joy has to be founded on the realization that we are not alone. Even when we feel like it, even when family members turn against us and push us away from our vocation, God's love is near to us. This is why we sing that hymn. The source of our Christian joy is Christ himself. And Christian joy is something that is obviously very different from all kinds of natural thrills and joys that come to us, particularly in three ways that I want to show you today. What are these three ways that Christian joy is different than natural or human thrill that sometimes we refer to as joy? Here's the way. First, that Christian joy, it doesn't fade over time. It doesn't fade over time. Joy comes from something that's alive. Christian joy does. Christian joy is because of a relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. Probably all of you have a Christmas tree within your home. Well, what does that Christmas tree represent? What is it made out of? It's an evergreen tree, right? It's an evergreen tree, and evergreen trees are different from all other trees because the evergreen tree, when everything else is leafless in winter, when everything else goes dormant during winter and seems like it's totally dead, well, there is the evergreen tree, continually green, continually fragrant, continually showing forth life, a constancy, no matter what seasons are changing on the exterior world. The Christmas tree symbolizes for us hope. There is goodness out there that I can achieve and take to myself, even when winter's lifeless, cold, and dark days go on and on. Christian joy does not fade with the passage of time or seasons. The second way in which Christian joy differs from natural joy is that joy grows more and more and more as our faith advances along the path if we stay with Christ. Mike and Mary Romero, why are you wearing that color today? What color is that? You wore it just because you wanted to match Deacon, right? Well, it's rose. We're wearing a rose-colored vestment that we only wear two times out of the year. Once in Advent, once in Lent. We wear this rose-colored vestment because it reminds us of the very thing that maybe you saw this morning at dawn. Were you up here at sunrise today? Did you see the beautiful sunrise we had? What does it begin with? The first rays of light that begin to touch the sky, they begin to fill the sky with a pinkish hue, a rose-ish hue that grows and grows and it becomes redder and redder and redder as the sun goes higher and higher and higher and brighter. Our Christian life is like the dawn. It begins in little ways and grows and grows and grows as the joy grows and grows and grows within our life until finally it's the brightness of day that only comes at the end of our Christian life. And that's why you and I as Christians cannot fear death. Because death for us, Christian death, is an interest into the brightness of everlasting day. It's the brightness of the Father's glory. It's the fullness of what this life was aiming toward. Christian joy is something that doesn't diminish over time, but it only grows and grows when we remain with Jesus just like the dawn grows. And the third way in which Christian joy differs from natural joy is that Christian joy isn't something you can keep to yourself. It can't be contained. In fact, it must be shared to other people. And in sharing Christian joy, your joy doesn't diminish in the least. In fact, it only becomes greater. This is the reason why during this Christmas season, we engage in gift giving. You know why we do that? It's not just because we're nice or because we're feeling good. Gift giving is given on Christmas because it shares our joys. Jesus Christ, what does he speak about within the gospel? He speaks about it rather in Acts chapter 20. He says it is better to give than to receive. And indeed, we know that from our own lives. We know that doing good for others, we know that sacrificing for others, making somebody else's life even just a little bit better, what happens to us is that when we do so, especially when it's inconvenient, especially when it hurts for us, that's the only way we gain real fulfillment, great satisfaction within our lives. You who are parents, and others of you, you know this about your children. When you give a gift to them, you're not so much interested in that they open it and that it's useful for them. You hope it is. But what you do, you want them to open it in front of you. Why? Because you want to see upon their face that excitement, that appreciation. And once you see that there, what happens is that your joy is increased. That is the real gift of giving back to you when they enjoy the very thing that you bestow upon it. It's that very same way. But when you and I are selfish, when we're focused upon ourselves, self-centered, what happens to us? When we refuse the gift and just take to ourselves, we become like Scrooge, all shriveled up, lost within ourselves, devoid of joy and of life. At the Christmas vigil, just like on the Easter vigil, you're going to come into this church totally dark. You're going to have a taper in your hand, a candle there. And we're going to come into this church and ceremoniously light those candles. And one by one, you're going to have to light each other's candles. And what does that show for us there in that beautiful thing? When we share our light with somebody else, does our light diminish? Do we lose anything of the brightness of our candle? Does it diminish in any way? When we share our light, what happens is it only gets more light. It only gets brighter. That the church only becomes more warm, and we begin to see more and more what is there. In the sharing there, we lose nothing of joy. And so it is with our lives. We lose nothing at all. We only gain. Such is Christian joy. Unlike earthly joy, which fades and sometimes diminishes when somebody else has more of it than us, because it's not real. The Christian joy is that of Jesus Christ, which he offers us during this Advent season. It's a lasting. It is a continually growing when we're with Jesus, a self-multiplying gift of joy. And this joy is only possible in the moment that we accept, receive Jesus into our very lives. When we allow him to come into us, to be the Emmanuel, the Christ child who enters into our souls. And this is a joy that when we let him into our lives and our homes, can say what we often say during this time. To let Christ be born again, born anew in us in this season. And now for some of us, that's a tough thing to look at. Because we're not feeling that kind of sentiment at this moment. And it seems a great distance from us because maybe it's been robbed of us. Maybe we feel full of anxiety or full of worry. Maybe we're full of fear within our hearts and cowering in this way. Maybe so many hardships are plaguing our families, whether it's our church, even our own individual souls, that we just won't let anybody into that. Today's the day to let that change. Because the 12th of December is an incredible day. What do we do on the 12th of December? Celebrate a really important lady. Mama Mary, Our Lady of Guadalupe. She's our mother. And on the 12th of December, something great happened. It was 1531. In 1531, they are 10 years after Mexico was conquered by Hernan Cortes. And when he did so, putting an end to the human sacrifices that they were doing such great evil within the world, bringing an end to that reign of terror that was there upon all the native peoples. Finally, the spark of faith, Christian hope, joy was beginning to blossom within the land, but it was a difficulty. Because so many souls, so many particularly indigenous, were fading away. Particularly because they weren't resistant to the diseases which the Europeans had a resistance to. And so many by many, they began to fade and they thought that their whole culture, their whole people were in total decline, that maybe this God was going to destroy them in some way. And so they were losing the hope at the same time. And in the midst of that loss of hope, That is where Our Lady always desires to put herself, to remind us of her Son. Remind us of her Son. It was then that in early December, Our Lady appeared to a poor Indian convert, an older man by name of Juan Diego. You know the story. I just want to share with you some of the words that she spoke to him. In the first apparition, when she came to Juan Diego, she said to him this, and I quote, she says, "Know and understand well, you most humble of my sons, that I am the ever-Virgin Holy Mary, Mother of the true God for whom we live, of the Creator of all things, the Lord of heaven and of earth. I wish that a particular church would be erected here and quickly, so that I may inside there show and give all of my love, all of my compassion, all of my help, and all of my protection, because I am your merciful mother. To you and to all the inhabitants on this land and to the rest who love me, those who invoke me, those who confide and trust in me, I want to listen. I want to listen in that place to all their lamentations, their cries, and to remedy all their miseries, their afflictions, and their sorrows." This is the heart of our mother. Our Lady of Guadalupe then charged him, "Go talk to Juan Zumárraga, the bishop, and tell him what I want." We see and hear something about Our Lady of Guadalupe, about our mother here. We see her, that she reveals herself to be a good mother. Mother Mary has one goal, and it's to give all of her love, to give all of her compassion, to give all of her help and protection. Mother Mary sees herself as that very thing, a mother. She is a mother to all, not just to Christ himself, but to all, as we see the foot of the cross, that those who love her, particularly those who call upon her, to those who are willing to entrust themselves to her care. Mother Mary is not somebody who wants to be distant from us. She says there, "I want to listen. I want to listen to what you have to say." She's not afraid of your copious weeping or of your tears. She's not afraid of the sorrows. She wants to remedy our miseries. She wants to fix all those things that hurt our souls, even in silence, that we won't share with other people. Mother Mary desires to console us in the midst of our sorrows. Maybe like Juan Diego, you're coming here today and feeling dejected because your efforts are not reaping anything. Because it feels like nobody is listening to you, because all your efforts seem like they're in vain, accomplishing nothing. And the more you try to do good, the more evil and disappointment comes your way, the more others assail you and attack your person. See, Juan Diego felt that. 3 times he went to the bishop. 3 times he was pushed away and said, "I need more than that. If I'm going to do what you're asking, how do I know that it's real?" It's easy to become discouraged. It's understandable just to want to give up, to throw up your arms and say, "I'm done with this. This isn't yielding anything," when your best efforts just yield more and more pain, more and more attack. Even Juan Diego tried to avoid Our Lady, the Mother of God. He realized there that his uncle Juan Bernardino, was sick. He wasn't going to recover. He was near death, and he knew that if he could get the priest to come to him, to hear his confession, to give him the last sacraments there, that he would have all the consolations of the church, and then have every hope that his uncle would make heaven. Everything that the church gives to a soul who's dying. This is an aside, but earlier this week, there was an individual whose family called for me to go visit them. And then, shortly afterwards, I got a call saying, "Father, don't come. She doesn't want you to come." So I don't know whether that soul receives any graces or whether they are lost entirely. But I prayed and I've offered the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass copious times for this individual. Please pray. They may not have died out of friendship with God. So Juan Bernardino needed it. And Juan Diego said, "I can't be delayed even by this woman. I will go around the opposite side of the hill where Our Lady wasn't. I need to just get the priest." And just as you ones know, you can't run from your mother. She knows what's going on. So too Mother Mary. Mother Mary went right there to the side. And did she slap him upside the head? Did she chide him? No. She reacted as a loving mother in that moment, pitying him, understanding his heart. And this is what she said to him in a loving rebuke. She said, "Juan Dieguito, hear me and understand me well, my son, the least and the smallest one. Nothing should frighten you or grieve you. Let not your heart be disturbed. Do not fear that sickness, nor any other sickness, not any anguish. Am I not here who am your mother? No estoy aquí que soy tu madre. Are you not under the shadow of my protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Am I not your health? Are you not found within the hollow of my mantle, within the very crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Do not grieve or be disturbed by anything. Do not be afflicted of this illness of your uncle, for he will not die. Be assured that he is already now cured." And with that, she sent him up the hill to gather those Castilian roses, which shouldn't have grown at that time of year, and not even in this part of the world. To gather them up, she arranged them and sent them off to the bishop. You know the rest of the story. What was our Mother Mary doing here? Mother Mary, her first action is exactly like her son's first actions. Anytime she encounters somebody in grave distress and sorrow, feeling like the world is crashing down, she says to them, just like Jesus does, she says, "Do not be afraid." She says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't be anxious at all. Don't give in to sadness, into worry, into that grief which clouds everything. You're worried about this illness? In truth, it's nothing. It's nothing because all sicknesses, they are nothing to me. What is sharp and painful that could ever destroy you when you're with me? Am I not here who am your mother? As a mother, I will always protect you. I will always comfort you. I will forever give you health in the deepest part of your soul. Just stay with me. Won't I just cover you like my little child, such always warm and protected? Won't I hide you from all the evils of the world that seek to throw you off and to rob you of your joy? As your mother, am I not your whole world? Am I not all that is important to you, my little child? Don't you always find yourself, in fact, in the crossing of my arms, in my warm embrace, in my strong motherly arms? These arms which will always squeeze away all your sorrows, on the shoulder that is there to absorb every one of your tears? Is not your head rocked to sleep by the rhythmic beating of my heart, upon the tenderness of my maternal breast? Beside me, your mother, what else do you need? Don't be afraid. Don't fear. Let go of your anxiety, this sickness, this affliction, this disease. It will not destroy you. It will not destroy your loved one either. I know how this ends. Trust me. I'm working it out. I know what's best. Am I not here who am your mother? I am already working out a cure, and it will be for your salvation. This is what intended our Mother Mary. Juan Bernardino was immediately cured. Immediately cured and totally well, even before he began to climb Tepeyac to find those roses which were there. And Our Lady spoke something which he did not speak to Juan Diego, to Juan Bernardino. She gave him her name. And when she said her name, Guadalupe, in the Nahual language, that native Indian language, it was Cotlasupe. And what does that mean, Cotlasupe? It means cot, which means serpent. La, which is the article the, and supe, which means to crush or to stomp out. And so what was Our Lady saying she was? What is she saying that her mission was? She is the one who crushes the head of the serpent, and is that not what we always see Our Lady marked as? She who is stomping the head of the ancient serpent. She says, I am the one who destroys the devil with all his works, with all his empty promises, with all his temptations and allurements. I am the one who is more powerful than everything which is sharp and painful, everything which is fear-inducing. I can crush and stomp out everything which causes you anxiety and tears and sorrow. I can end all that sadness and grief when you're with me, my children. No estoy aquí que soy tu madre. Maybe today you're feeling totally joy-filled. Maybe today everything is going great and you're ready to enter into a lasting, growing, self-multiplying joy because you're finding it easy to share that with everyone around you. That's great. Continue on. For the rest of us. To the rest of us who are struggling. Maybe it's with a death or with a hardship, with a fear or a sickness that just seems to overtake everything within your mind. Maybe something that is sharp and painful is making all semblance of joy just a distant hope that you're beginning to despair of ever receiving, an impossible dream for you right now. The answer is this: go to the cause of your joy. Go to Mother Mary. That's who is the cause of our joy, as Father Gruber spoke for us this week during the mission. Go to Mother Mary. She's the cause of our joy. Why? Because her yes to God, to let Jesus enter into her womb, caused us to have joy himself incarnate with us. That is Jesus Christ. She causes our joy by causing Christ to come ever so nearer to you and me, to touch, to taste, to be like you and me. She's the cause of our joy, the same Jesus who is the perfect love for us, the same Jesus who always remains with us and is always remaining for us. Use that miraculous medal. The miraculous medal that I gave you, if you don't have one, ask for it again, and we'll give it to you after Mass. Because what does she remind us? She says, ask for the things that we need, whether they're big things or small, whether they think they're so important or seemingly insignificant. Ask for them. Wear it around your neck. Trust that she wants what's best for you, to have confidence to turn to her in every difficulty which you go through. Listen to the words of Our Lady of Guadalupe again. And let them seek into your heart to give you consolation. They're not just meant for Juan Diego. They're meant for all her children. She says, hear and understand well, my least and precious son, my dearest and smallest daughter. Nothing should frighten you or grieve you. Let not your heart be disturbed. Don't fear that sickness or any other sickness or anguish Am I not here who am your mother? Are you not under the shadow of my protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Am I not your health? And are you not within the hollow of my mantle, within the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? Do not grieve or be disturbed by anything. Do not be afflicted by the illness which you have, that your loved one's experiencing. It's not to end in death. Be assured of it, for already now I'm working out the cure, the means of salvation. Brothers and sisters, Mother Mary is always there for us. She came under the title of Our Lady of Guadalupe to remind us that she stomps out every wickedness of evil and of the serpent. She's always offering to us her Son, who is joy itself. Mother Mary, then, today, right before we enter into the rest of the Advent season, is the cause of our joy. So like St. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Say it again, rejoice. The Lord, indeed, is very near to those who call upon him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thank you.